Got a question for you right off this morning. You recognize this picture? Who did this picture? Who is the composer or the artist? Anyone know? I'm going to put up another one here, and you will probably be able to recognize who the artist is from this picture. Who is the artist there?
Van Gogh.
Yeah, now I'm going to do something here. Actually, that picture is not Van Gogh's. Okay? Now, he has a picture that kind of looks like this. Actually, there's two. This picture here, there it is in its pastel. You know, this artist is Everett Munch. That's his name. And that picture recently sold for $120 million. How about that? That is the most expensive painting that's ever been sold, at least that I know of to date. It was sold in May 3rd of 2012. Actually, that picture, as I mentioned, is often taken to be a Van Gogh, but it's not. Now, here are some that Van Gogh did do that kind of are similar, but this one he did 2 months before he passed away. 2 months. And it is obviously a reflection. A lot of these are a reflection of where his thinking was at the time. This Van Gogh right here actually sits in our office, our medical office. As a matter of fact, there's two of these that are in our medical, not the ones that were originals, okay? Not the originals. He often did sketches of his paintings afterwards. But anyway, this one sits in our office, and it sits there for a reason. The reason is that sometimes seeing is difficult. And let me move this. Seeing the connection is difficult for us. The reason that that photo or photo of that painting sits in our office on two walls is because it communicates a connection that a lot of people just kind of pass right by. Seeing the connections are somewhat difficult sometimes. The connections are at the bottom of that picture is a description that if you smoke, you get COPD. And it shows the percentages of smoking and getting COPD. As a matter of fact, the older you get, smoking, the higher the probability, and you know it's COPD, that's not OCD, okay, those are two different things. They got a lot of the same letters, it's two different things. COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. Now, not that I'm a doctor, but I hang around with one a lot, okay? And you smoke, you will get this. The percentages are very high. It just is going to be the case. And that's what that picture is to make the connection for in our office. Because sometimes it's difficult to see connections. I recall I used to get a stomach ache Sunday evening after Sunday evening after Sunday evening after Sunday evening. And this was after a whole day of ministry, and I would get this really intense burning stomach ache. And I talked with someone about that, and they ask, well, what do you eat? What do you drink? Well, it happens on every Sunday evening. We kind of would have a little celebration at our house, and we would break open a 2-liter bottle of pop, and I'd just drink the 2-liter bottle of pop, usually a couple of 16-ounce glasses full, and there was a connection there between the amount of caffeine. Dr. Thunder, you remember that? Yeah, I think it's still around, isn't it? There was a connection there between the amount of caffeine and carbonation and all of that I was putting. So I decided, well, maybe there is a connection. So I stopped that, and guess what? Sometimes connections are hard for us to see. Sometimes not. You know, we make an amazing number of connections. This little thing actually has an article about it, and that article talks about how in our brain, things called synapses makes connection, 100 trillion connections take place. And chemicals kick in, and then an enzyme kicks in, and it breaks the connection, and we are always doing that to do anything. We are making connections in our brain. Whether you scratch your nose or your chin or whatever, these connections are going in your brain, and to talk has an amazing number of connections. But sometimes connections are hard to see. You know, the Bible gives us a whole bunch of connections that we really do need to see. A whole bunch of them. Let me just run a couple of these connections for you. God makes connections for us in the Bible. Here's some of the examples. The churning of anger produces strife. If you are walking around carrying in you that you review and you review and review, a disgruntledness in your heart towards a person, towards events, towards whatever, it will cause strife. There will be difficulties between people. The Bible teaches a connection there. The Bible teaches another connection here. Proverbs 15:1. Where it talks about a harsh word stirs up anger. You talk to somebody, well, you jerk, you're going to stir anger. Somebody comes up to you with a problem and says, don't bug me with that. It's going to stir anger. It's a connection that the Bible makes for us. Another one, he who isolates himself, person who draws back from being from other people, avoids them, that person is going to be so included in, they're going to be so tuned in, checked into their own desires, that they are going to rail against anybody else tells them anything else. They're going to rail against all sound judgment. They're just going to put it down. There are connections the Bible makes for us. Sometimes they're difficult to see. Sometimes so things come up. There's a connection I want you to see in Psalm 51, and I want you to turn there this morning. Dr. Stewart actually visited this psalm on March the 6th, and he talked to us about joy because it talks a great deal about joy. I am revisiting this psalm for the purpose of wrapping up our series on happiness because there is a connection there, that we need to see. And as I read this, I want you to be alert. I want you to put up your antennas. I want you to clue in on this to see if you can identify the connection. If you're with me, Psalm 51, Psalm of David, it says, this David wrote on a situation that was particularly difficult. Difficult because he created a situation of difficulty. Now, I want you to listen in, antenna up for the connection. I'm going to start Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Did you see the connection? Did you get it? There's a connection here. There is a connection that is difficult for us to see sometimes, but it is a God-given connection that we need to see. It's here. Restored joy of your salvation in me, being upheld in me, maintained, sustained in me with a willing spirit, then leads, verse 13, to teaching transgressors your ways and sinners being converted. There is a connection between your joy in your salvation and your carrying that to teach those who don't have it and their being turned to Christ. Did you hear that? It's a connection. Your joy and sinners coming to Christ, God intentionally said to us, there's a connection. And He did it in the midst of a very difficult situation. That was David's doing. There's a connection. This morning we're going to talk about restore the joy. Then, that's the connection. Restore the joy then. And we're going to look at this, these two things. Number one, recognizing the Spirit within. And number two, making the connection then. First, recognizing the Spirit within. I want you to know right off, David says, my. You ever been in a situation where you do that? Oh, my. Oh, no, I don't use those old-fashioned words. I use up-to-date words. Fine, whatever you say. The situation is a... situation. It's one of those hold your head and wonder situation where the Spirit is overwhelmed. I wonder, Renda, did you know anything about those? Overwhelming situations? Yeah, I think we just heard about those, didn't we? And you hold your head and you go, my. David is in that, and he's in it because of his own doing. And he goes, my. I want you to see this. I want you to see how he does this my thing. Start with me, chapter 51, verse 1, last line. He goes, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. David is swept over with this, my sense of coming face to face with the situation that he's in, and it's kind of like, my. And he talks to God from this. I want you to know what we're focusing on. We're focusing on recognizing the Spirit that's within. That's what we're talking about. Look what David says. He says, number one, it's because of transgression. Transgression is when you go beyond the line. This is what God has said. You go beyond the line of what God has said works. This is what you know inside from your conscience is a thing not to do. And you cross the line. You go beyond what you know in your conscience. That's an oh my thing. And when David talks to the Lord here, he talks about crossing the line. He crossed the line. Cross the line. Thank you. Number two, he talks here about iniquity. He talks about iniquity. When he talks about this, there's an inside twistedness that my thinking is kind of like twisted. He talks about my twistedness. He talks about my sin. What I've done is it's totally missed the mark that God has. I've totally missed the mark that would be expected. This just isn't the way it's supposed to be. I'm not in the situation that this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And that sweeps over David, and he recognizes the Spirit within. I want you to know, we all have a spirit within. And our spirit within is always in a state. It's always in some condition. Sometimes it's a condition of where we're troubled. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in John 13 that Jesus became troubled in spirit. He's troubled. Apostle Paul talks to us about having a spirit of fear. Says God's not given us a spirit of fear. Sometimes that's the spirit that overcomes us. The spirit within, it's its condition, its state. It's where our thinking is and where our feelings are going, and where from that we're making choices, and that's spirit. The Bible talks about having a kindred spirit with other people. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul talks about Timothy and him having a kindred spirit. They were just kind of like meshed. They were kind of thought together and worked together and went. You see, our spirit is always in some condition, some state. And you need to recognize, like David does, recognize where your spirit is at. So essential for having restored joy then the connection that God has in mind for us. Where is our spirit at? David, recognizing where his spirit is at, overwhelmed, always before me, that it's not the way it's supposed to be, turns to the Lord, verse 6, and says this: behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. What's going on in my spirit? You desire to be what squares with what's real. You desire truth there. You desire for me to have wisdom down in my spirit, in the secret of my heart that nobody else knows and nobody else gets into but you and God. And sometimes your words reveal what's going on there. As a man speaks, he speaks out of the abundance of his heart. Sometimes. I want you to know, in counseling, there's lots of things that you do to draw a person out, and sometimes they just start talking, and then you get it. What's going on in their heart? He turns to God with his spirit in this state that he recognizes. And he prays. This is what you want. I need to get where you are. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Then he says this as he turns to God: let me hear joy and gladness. Look at verse 8. As he turns to God in God's cleansing, God's reordering, God's setting things up, he says, let me hear joy and gladness, verse 8. Let the bones that you've broken rejoice. Give me joy again. Return joy again. Let me hear from you, God. Let me hear joy. You know, this is an interesting thing he says here. He's talking about going after the joy. Look at verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. He is, when he's recognizing the state that his spirit is in, he's going after the joy of God's rescue. This is a rescue that is eternal. This is a rescue that does not falter. This is a rescue that meets every situation with exactly with what is needed, because this is done by I am who I am, always and forever, what you need. This is the rescue. And David knows it, and he knows where his spirit is, and he knows where he needs to go, and he goes there, and he cries out to God, and he asks him to restore. Lord, you, this word restore is a word that means you causatively rebuild, renew, and repair. What? The spirit within. Look at verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your rescue, your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. He rebuilds, renews, repairs the spirit within. When? What's David into here? Do you know the context of this? Read the notes that begin Psalm 51. That's what David is into here. It's an action where he did that he intentionally brought trouble into his life. If you were God and you set up a king who is to lead your people in your ways, and your king intentionally went against you and killed one of your very faithful servants, what would you do to that king when he comes to you? What would you say to him when he is overwhelmed with the results of his own actions? You made the bed. How does that go? You
lay in it.
Yeah, you sleep in it. Right? Yeah. He had some things, didn't he? But he's going after God, rebuilding the spirit with joy. Consequences? Yep. But joy. Joy. Rebuild me with joy. The joy that he talks about here means cheerfulness. It means a welcome gladness, or a welcoming gladness. Welcoming gladness. A gaiety. A rejoicing. Inside. In my spirit. This is what David is seeking here. Sometimes things get off track. I'm going to move that up. I'm going to add this. Where do you go when you're fun? Your enjoyment. Your cheerfulness gets smashed. Where do you go? What do you do when life is a drudge? Just yesterday I was talking extensively to somebody, and that's what they were talking about. Life is a plod along. Can I tell you something? Sinners are not being converted because of that. Transgressors, you're not talking to. Because you are so overwhelmed in your spirit. Where do you go when it gets smashed? Where do you go when the joy dissipates and it's ruined? It's ruined. I would suggest, based on what we see here with David, that we would run to God in His rescue. God in His rescue, whether our situation is self-induced by what we've chosen, or what comes on us from outside, or what we think of over and over, that we would run to the Lord. Anybody disagree with that? I want you to know there is good recommendation here, and it's not mine. This is David's. You know, it's an interesting quote. I'm going to back this up again. That David, Psalm 32, is a take of the same situation that David was in Psalm 51. And in Psalm 32, David describes how happy, did you hear that? Restore joy, restore to me the joy. How happy is the one who does this, who runs to the Lord, who talks to Him, who hears of His rescue. As a matter of fact, it is so much the case that in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul uses this. And he says, just as David described the blessedness, the happiness of the one to whom God does not impute or charge sin, the one to whom God imputes righteousness instead, apart from the works of the law, blessed, happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven, those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one to whom the Lord does not count iniquity. You notice this? That these are the same words that David said was going on. I've crossed the line. I've messed it up. It's not the way it's supposed to be. There is an inward twistedness. And he goes through and he talks about how happy are those who God has treated this way concerning what they're into, where they've gone, where their spirit is. And that is so classic that David uses it to teach about God's rescuing us in Christ. You know what this should do? This should overwhelm our spirit in the other direction. It's like, whoa, God, you are, there is nobody like you. You, wow, joy. Joy rebuilding. Did he deserve to have his joy rebuilt? Did he deserve it? Do you deserve it? No. We don't deserve this. Does God do it anyway? Why does he do it? Because of his great love. Because he gives grace when we humble. I want you to see how much David says this spirit in me thing, just recognizing that this thing of restored joy is recognizing the spirit within you. Just look how many times he does this. Just pick this up. He says, Lord, verse 9, let me hear gladness and joy. Verse 9, or verse 8 was gladness and joy. Verse 9, hide your face from my sin. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. You see what he says here? He says, Lord, clean this up and put a right spirit, a steadfast spirit, a spirit that is back on track. A spirit, say this with me, a spirit that is back on track. It's back on track with you. Restore to me joy. Clean this up. Put my spirit, say it with me, back on track. You know, sometimes, have you ever had a door get off track? You know, a sliding door, one of those big glass ones, and we used to have one in our, just off our family room, and you go in there and it'd get, and you try to pull this thing, and it was like plowing, you know, with no tractor. It was just, ugh. Bifold doors, when they get off track, you know, and my daughter has one that I've worked on several times to try and keep on track. Okay. Because, and when she just takes the door out, you know, just get this on track. Josh has a testimony concerning on track, this whole series on track.
As many of you know, I own my own construction company, and in doing this, I spend a lot of time going from job to job, and I really, really don't like listening to music. It's just something It irritates me. I can't get the rhythm. I can't get the beat. And I prefer talk radio. So a lot of times I'm surfing through channels trying to find talk radio. The other day I was going into Bluffton to look at a house with one of my friends. And as I was surfing through the channels, I found a radio station that was nothing but Christian talk radio. And as I was listening to this, I had about 2 hours in the car. And they kept talking about the joy of the Lord going through David, going through Solomon and what he was going through, and how nothing that he did satisfied, absolutely nothing. One of my life verses actually comes from Proverbs, and it is Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of those that imagine evil, but to the counselor of peace is joy. And I get a little frustrated sometimes with people that I feel have wronged me. And as I'm sitting there in my truck or sitting in the deer stand, these thoughts come, oh, I can really get back at them if I do this and I do this. And what we put in comes out in our actions. So I was going through Proverbs and I found this verse and it really applied to me. So I decided to take it as my life verse because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I need something, some way to keep me on track because I can't do it on my own. It's impossible. And listening to these different pastors, about 10, 15 different pastors, all of them were hitting on the joy of the Lord. And what kept coming back to me is, you know, God's working something here. He's working something in me because what are the chances that on 3-4 different radio stations, all the pastors are talking about the joy of the Lord. The Spirit's at work. And I have to submit to that because I can't do it on my own and you can't do it on your own. It is physically impossible. God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And we have to realize that. We have to submit to that. And we have to go out and get somebody to keep us on track, because a door that's off track isn't going to fix itself. Somebody has to physically go there, put it back on track, make any modifications, adjustments, take out the bad, put in the new. And that is what God has been teaching me here, is stay on track, get others involved, because we're weak. It's impossible to do it by ourselves. So I have found great comfort, great peace in sharing a lot of the problems I'm going with my D-band. The guys in my D-band are amazing because there's no judging going on. They are there to help, and they have the biblical background where they can bring it up and encourage us and build us back up to go out there and fight the good fight. And I'm so blessed, so encouraged to see that our church is going through the joy of the Lord. So amazed that on all these radio stations, they're talking about the joy of the Lord. A lot of times it's our wanters that get out of whack, and it's what we want, or you're going to pout about it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that is what God's been teaching me here. And I have to say, I encourage all of you to get into a D-band. Get someone that can hold you accountable. Get someone that is there on your level. Get a friend. Because that's what our D-band is. We're friends. We encourage one another. We build each other up. So I definitely encourage you guys to do that.
Verse 11, again, he goes on and he says, cast me not away from your presence, take not your spirit from me. He's talking about here his experience going on with God, the fellowship here. I could reiterate what he said about D-bands. And what that does inside, keeping you on track. And this joy of experiencing fellowship with the Lord. Notice what he says, verse 11. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Not that the Lord's going to snatch him back, but the experience of this. This is about the Spirit being recognized. Look at verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. Now, he goes to them, making the connection. Look at verse 13. Then, he says, then, right then, it's then, with this joy restored, with this being on track, with this spirit, your spirit in fellowship with my spirit, then, he says, then I'll talk. Then I'll talk. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. Those who aren't in line with the way it's supposed to be. And they know it. And they're experiencing it. And sinners, he says, those whose lives are having crossed the line, not like it's supposed to be, will turn to you. Do you see the connection? There's a connection between your joy and your talking about the Lord's great rescue. Your joy. Guess what? Lose joy, have no joy, no talk. That communicates. No sinners turning. Skip has a note about a testimony concerning the series that you really need to hear.
I wasn't going to admit this, but when the series first started, I was a little against it. I thought it was rather silly that what's this happy, happy, happy business? And we've all known people with smiles on their faces that aren't really smiling inside. They just do it because they're supposed to, and this is what Christians do. We're happy, happy, happy all the time. And I thought, you know, this is stupid. I don't want to go through this. But God's Spirit has a way of working with us. And I made a mistake years ago, and I gave Lori a very expensive gift that didn't cost me a penny. And I promised her that I would pray with her every day. And I've kept that promise, unless I'm out of town or something like that. And we talk every morning for a half an hour, and then we pray for an hour. And a lot of what we talk about is our walk. What is our walk about? How are we approaching things? What's our life? And some of you know we've been going through some tough times lately with health and finances and things that I try not to complain too much about, but I share it with people I love and who love me. And how do we face these things? And what is the meaning of our walk? And Pastor Tom was so clear one day. He shared that early in his walk, he said, God, if this is the way you're going to treat me, what's the deal? This is the way you treat your servants. I don't want any part of it. Well, that was inside my heart. I hadn't said it out loud. But it came to me that, yeah, I'm mad at God for the way he's treating me. What's it, God? I'm better than this. What are you doing to me? Well, I had to repent of that. When I first came to the Lord, being an engineering mindset, I went through the Bible and I found all the rules. In the New Testament, there's all kinds of rules if you want to look. There's hundreds of things you're supposed to do. And I found out early on that I wasn't able to do those. And it kind of made me upset. And I learned that I can't do it. So why bother looking at the Bible? Because it's just a downer. And through the tutelage of the D-bands and pastors teaching, I've learned that, you know, there really is a purpose of the Word of God, and it's not to beat us down, it's to lift us up. And so, as Lori and I were talking, you know, we're trying to figure out how does this life work? What's a Christian life look like? We moved here from California specifically for the purposes of the gospel. In fact, our farm is named the Gospel Trails Farm. Well, I'd never done farming. I killed the one plant that somebody gave me. I had chickens at one time, and I saw a cow, I think, once at a zoo or something, but now we have a herd of cattle and we're running a business. I'd never run a business before, so I'm way out of my element. And it was very discouraging because things don't go the way you want them to go. And launching missiles, we controlled every variable. In farming, you control almost nothing. God controls it all. So the Lord has been humbling me over the last almost 9 years now. And I lost any joy that I've ever had. I was anxious. I was discouraged, despondent. I honestly, I wanted to die. I prayed for God to kill me a number of times. Look, just take me out of here. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with you. I didn't want to kill myself, but I wanted him to kill me. I hate it. Just being honest here. But one of the things, as Lori and I were talking, something's wrong. What is wrong here? Where's this joy thing? And then along comes this teaching series on joy and happiness. One of the things that really struck me between the eyes and what got pastor's attention is I came to him after one of the teachings, and I said, you know, this is really all about the gospel. If Lori and I aren't living the joy of the Lord, nobody's going to want what we want. They don't want the list of rules that I've collated over the years. You know, there's hundreds of them. I don't have a list anymore. But they don't want what I have if I don't have the joy of the Lord. I have no audience with them. I used to be involved in a homeless ministry back in California. I was sitting on the curb with a guy, and I'd been talking to him for a few weeks. And one day he turns to me and says, Skip, you've never been strung out on drugs, have you? I said, no, I haven't. He said, you've never been vomiting in the gutter, sick on alcohol. I said, no, I've never done that. He says, we don't really have much to talk about. And at that point, he was right, because I didn't have the joy of the Lord. I had nothing to share with him. I could tell him he's a dirty, filthy sinner just like me. I could tell him I had this certificate of salvation, that I get a ticket to heaven now. But I didn't have the joy. That would be an infectious, sharing joy. And so this teaching has opened my eyes to, you know what? This is real. This is necessary. This is appropriate. And if we're not finding that joy, we better find it. If you're in Christ and you don't have joy in your life, you better look for it. And it's either, they've already told you what, and I'm not going to give the list because I'll forget some things. They've told you why we don't have it if we don't have it. And last weekend we spoke about the refuge. And I do the dishes in the morning, and Lori's right over here doing, cooking breakfast. And sometimes we chit-chat a little bit. And she asked me something like, what's wrong? And I had just experienced this overwhelming weight of kind of anxiety, I guess it would be. I'm not really a worrier, but things come on, and I just, oh, how am I going to deal with this? And I just kind of spilled that out. And then all of a sudden, instantly, these scriptures started coming, streaming out of my mouth. And the scripture that has been my, I don't want to call it my life scripture, because I think my life's going to change, but my life scripture lately has been, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And I'm going to skip the middle part, but it's to conform me to the image of Christ. I tell you, every time I get discouraged, I get anxious, I get bummed out, anything, it's like, God is working this together for my good. I'll trust him in this. So the scriptures have become my refuge, and the scriptures are Christ. The word became flesh. That's Jesus himself. So this whole refuge idea is contained in the person of Jesus Christ. And so that's hope, and that's my hope to share with my neighbors who don't know him yet.
I will teach transgressors your ways, they'll be converted. My tongue will praise you. My mouth will. Look at what he says. This is what will happen. When the joy is restored, I will teach. My tongue will sing aloud of your right ways. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Verse 13. That's what happens. And Lord, you will. Look at what he says. Lord, you will not. You will not respond to perfunctory things. You will not. The spirit you're looking for is straight up. Look at the perfunctory things. He says, Lord, you will not delight in sacrifices that I would give. If you delighted in them, I would do them. If you were pleased with burnt offerings, yes, that's what I would do. But you're not. You don't want these perfunctory things. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are that you recognized you're broken. You're broken. You're broken. And you come to him to restore the joy from a contrite spirit. And he says, you will not look away from that, Lord. You will not. Being into a straight-up spirit with God. Lord, you will. That's the connection, folks. God will. You'll talk. People will listen. Won't be perfunctory. It'll be straight up. When you come to him like this, he won't turn away from it. It's what he desires. Sometimes we don't see the connections. Sometimes seeing the connections are difficult. Always. We've looked at the connection between joy and telling God's doing. Always. Skip said it. Put Jesus Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of this hope that they see in your joy that's within you, with meekness and with fear.